future. Once for all, one-time offering. I thank you, Jesus. I pray these things in your name. Amen. We're going to have to know that, guys, because we are entering into an area where we're going to be like, that sounds like me. I've done that.
Call that a cup.
It's already needing to be refilled.
Hey,
that's a cup, that's a jug.
No fucking auditing people. Wow,
you guys are auditing?
Michael? I'm going to have to put you in the corner, young man.
Hold it right here, you're going to have to use this one.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Testing, 1, 2, testing. Oh, this is for you, Jennifer and Mike. Hi.
Don't forget Jeff. Jeff, I think, is going to listen to this.
Maybe. You know, you don't give me something.
It's going to be an interesting Sunday.
You don't give me something like that. It's just, Okay. Last week, we talked about some interesting things in the book of Romans about the will of God, didn't we? And I just wanted to touch up, I'm going to catch a quick review. I'm going to tell you what, guys, here's what the will of God looks like. The will of God does not look like this. That is not what the will of God looks like.
He's not a dot.
Nope. If you try to find a dot, you'll never find it. It's crazy. You think you'll always second guess yourself. The will of God is more like this. A big circle. Everything within here is God's will and permissible. Everything out here is sin. That's what it looks like. Now, here's what's fascinating, is you get this, where this really gets severe is when you're trying to find somebody to marry. Because there's that one person out in the world who is specially for you. And if you don't find that person, well, then you've missed God's will. How many people have been taught that?
That I've missed it for 50 years.
Yeah, you've been taught it, and it's not the truth.
50 years. 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that?
So you're saying that's not true?
It's not true.
Okay.
I thought you were going to end
that. The one
Yeah. Actually, Hollywood's really jumped on this, and it's called like this, just said.
I've seen it before.
You know, it's funny, is here we in Christianity.
I don't like that.
I know, but we don't. But that's what we do for Christianity. We do the same thing. Because there's somebody, all Hollywood has done is described what we've mystically tried to find. And you would not believe the teaching out there about this. What's interesting about God's will is, here's a great passage for this. It's talking to widows. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it says, you are free to marry whomever you wish, only in the Lord. Now, here's a widow whose one person, supposedly, has died. But yet there's another person, because you're free to marry somebody else. How can that be? So how can there be that one person? Because that should have been it. If there's only one person in all eternity for you, and that person just died, why have an instruction to remarry? Widow. So, very simple. Instead of this, and I can show you hundreds of others. Well, not hundreds, but others. We don't have time today. What is God's will in the area of, say, marriage for you as a believer?
Be evenly yoked to him.
There you go. Marry a Christian. Now, wisdom. Let's bring wisdom into it so we don't have to blame God for everything. Because here's what a lot of people do. They marry the wrong person. They get divorced. They blame God. God, you said that if I married a Christian, that was the right thing. And look how it turned out. This stinks. It's your fault. No, it's not God's fault. It's part of the fall. But it also could be your fault. Because even though you married a Christian, there were warning signs. they had problems with promiscuity. They never really developed holiness in that realm. They had problems with maybe sticking to it. See, this is where we don't like to have to blame, but there's our part. Even though the person's a Christian, you still have the responsibility as a Christian to choose a wise person. To choose somebody who is not necessarily they are wise, but it takes time to look and see, you know, will this person be compatible? You know, can I get around this? Am I blinded by love? Am I involved in a physical relationship with this Christian that blinds all the other stuff? See, that's why I tell people many times, younger people, as I say, you cross the line physically, you have instantly what you've done is you've blurred everything. You've blurred your vision because now you're hooked into them physically in a way that should not be hooked in until after you're married. And it blinds you to their faults and to the things. And, you know, you see a huge divorce rate today, and I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but that's a big reason why it's there.
What does the Bible say about divorce? I mean, I know it's not something that God wants us to do, but...
Right. Divorce is not one of my biggies. I have bigger, like, spiritual warfare is my big thing. I'm talking about spiritual warfare.
No, I'm not talking about divorce.
I know. Here's what I can tell you about divorce. Paul gives an exception. Jesus gives an exception. Jesus says, in the case of infidelity, you're free. If the partner cheats on you, you're free. Paul says, if the person's an unbeliever and they walk away, you're free.
What if the person is an unbeliever and the believer walks away?
Not supposed to.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. See, the thing about it is it says in there, you don't know whether you will...
Say that.
Yeah.
Be a witness.
Yeah. Dementries, you get involved in all of this. What about if you're being abused? What about, I mean, there's so many what abouts.
Yeah, it gets really hard.
Yeah, and that's where I'll be honest with you, I'm not strong in that area, biblically. There are some pastors that really know this really well. That's probably why I've only done about 7 weddings. I guess most pastors, by the time they've been here 12 years, they've done 50, 60 weddings. I'm very strict on who I officiate. First of all, I put them through a 3 to 6 month learning thing, which nobody likes to do anyway. So weed those out. And then, you know, if you got, like, okay, I had two people that I officiated their wedding. One had already been married, and the husband was abusive. She was a non-believer then, and they divorced. And so it had been a long time. It had been 7 years. And then the two people that were together, she was already pregnant. They were unbelievers, and then they got saved in my living room. And so I look at that as you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you're new. You can
and they're totally
new.
Evenly yoked at that time.
Right.
They may be bathed in Christ and not have, you know, wisdom of God, but they'll grow together.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in our marriage, I know it's personal, but that I'm growing, but he stays the same.
Join the club, honey.
Yeah. But he'll let me witness to him, you know, on the things I learn.
Yeah, God doesn't shut the door to me.
Right.
A lot of guys are like that.
He's receptive and open, but he just doesn't have the drive
that
I do.
Right.
A lot of guys, and here's the reason. This is not his sole reason, but somehow they have been taught, because we've taught it, that church is for women and children.
Right, and that's what I did all them years, brought the kids to church all by myself.
Yep. I've heard people say Christianity is for weak people, weak individuals.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's
right.
Yeah. And there are also those individuals that aren't raised with a strong father figure that
right,
are the leaders, the Christian leaders.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the mother is the Christian leader, and so they just get back into that mold when they get married. That,
right.
Well, the wife is going to be the one to lead the kids.
Right. And they
really
need the men.
Yeah. That's the problem today is men go, okay, wait a minute. Here's what men do. They go, I've got a job where I'm important. I'm going to go to this church where they do women things. I don't see how in the world this can even apply in my life.
I'm a man. I don't
want to
be weak and go to church.
Right. I don't want to hang around blue-haired ladies. You know, what's up with that?
I'm bawling, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, plus, what do I do when I'm even there?
I know it. That's
am I an usher? What the heck is that?
Yeah.
Because I don't need that. I can go to my work and I'm important.
Right.
But here, I don't feel important. So
the man is so screwed up because there's so much needed at home to be
the
important one, the leader. The
church has dropped the ball.
Yeah, they have.
They have not shown that men are needed.
They have quit watching the father knows.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to this, because we got to get moving on. We got to keep moving on. Wisdom says, or God's will says, marry a Christian. Wisdom says, make sure it's the right Christian. Okay? And you can only do that with time, guys.
I know, because I got married very young. I was 20. I mean, I didn't know. You come from a broken home, and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I know, exactly. You don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Okay. You just want to do it differently. You want to start your life and make it fit. But it all follows you.
Yeah.
That's all kids come from nowadays anyway, is a broken home.
It's all men.
Every kid.
More now.
And they're marrying younger. Why?
So they can get out.
Actually, they're not, and they're not even marrying.
They're not. You're
having
right.
Kids, they're shacking up together.
Yeah, because that marriage didn't work with my mom and dad, so we're going to try something different. We tried it earlier, we're going to do our own thing.
Right. Babies having babies.
Oh,
so scary.
When you're talking about being evenly yoked, too, I'm swinging back there for a second. What about, you know, Christianity and Catholicism and Jews? I mean, can they cohabitate? Because, I mean, I know Catholics have added Bibles. I mean, books to the Bible. It's Christian and Christian.
It's very difficult for an evangelical to marry a Catholic, a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic. Because biblically, there's too many kinch. There's too many kinch. First of all, you have your kid baptized. Why do you have your kid baptized? So that he can be saved. Get rid of original sin. What? What is that? Hello? Okay, we walk in every day, we bow the knee to Mary, a statue of Joseph, Mary, and then Jesus. That are statues. That's idolatry.
And they pray to other saints.
I don't want to knock the Catholics, guys, but I'm sorry. There's things biblically that they don't do correctly. I came out of the Catholic thing. I was 16 years in the Catholic thing. You go to confession, so Jesus will forgive you because of a priest? No, Jesus forgives you because of his blood. There's no person in between.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's the same players in the book. Yeah, but it's weird.
But see, in Mormonism, it's the same players.
Mm-hmm.
But each thing is if Jesus doesn't really mean the Jesus we have. God isn't really the God that we have. God, like in Mormonism, is Elohim. Elohim was once a man. And he got to God status, got his own planet, Earth. Just like you can do someday, Michael. You can't, girls, but you can. You can hitch a ride with him. But is that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Absolutely not. You know, and Jesus was a prophet just like Joseph Smith. That's not the same Jesus.
Well, how do you know that Christianity is the right religion to be in?
Doubter over here.
One thing.
No, that's not me. That's my son.
There's one thing. No other religion talks about a resurrection. Only Christianity does. The resurrection is so far out there.
How do you know that he actually rose from the dead?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If the resurrection being so far out there, everybody knows when someone's dead. Christianity would have never, you just would have never taken out.
And it all comes down to your faith. The meaning of faith is...
Well, I understand that.
If you're looking for proof...
I'm not. My son is.
Yeah.
My son is.
Yeah. A lot of kids are like that.
I mean, these are the questions that he asked me.
That
is
a smokescreen.
Who's that wrote that book that was an atheist and he set out to prove Christ a fake and ended up finding...
Oh, yeah.
The truth.
I've seen
he
a video
of that.
Yeah, with the stone.
What's his name? But that would be a good book for your son because... That guy was totally turned around because he proved that Christ was real.
Focus on resurrection. If you can prove the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, then you got it. Then you have it.
And that guy proved it.
Yeah. See, here's the problem with that whole thing, Therese, is you have to get evolution out of the way. Okay, evolution doesn't just say we come from little slugs and boom. Evolution says we are more advanced than they were 2,000 years ago. That's wrong. That's an evolutionary statement. People were smarter or as smart as we are today back then. And so what people say is they go, well, people were primitive. It was a primitive culture. No, it was not a primitive culture. Probably they were smarter than we were. Guys, the zenith of civilizations was 2,000 years ago. I know we look at our civilization, we're like, whoa, no. For art, literature, philosophy, all that kind of stuff, the zenith was 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire.
Yep.
And the Greek Empire.
The Greeks were so advanced.
Yes.
Oh, wow. When we studied
so
Isaiah and Romans in BFF, I was blown away at the technology they had back then.
Yeah.
He's going.
Yeah, we have one thing,
education
guys.
Wise.
Just one thing. You take it away, we're done. It's called electricity.
Yeah.
You take electricity away from this culture, and we go right back into the Dark Ages. Literally.
Yeah.
We have electricity that runs everything.
You go back to sickness and disease again. Yeah. Dying at an earlier age.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I have these back in the third world countries because they don't have electricity. So,
that's the zenith, guys. It's already passed. And it's crazy. The thing about it is, though, Therese, is those people knew nothing as fantastic as what Jesus did could have stayed as truth.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell him that, and I said, you know, it has lasted this long. The Bible has lasted this long. And he's like, well, how do you know whoever wrote it didn't just lie about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's proven.
Have him read it.
It's proven through history. He actually read the Left Behind series.
Right.
He read the whole series.
Have him read the book of John.
I don't know that you will, but I'll tell him to or ask him to.
I wonder if that sounds like a fake.
And they're all different accounts from different people from different times, and they all match, too.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, he's probably said, how do you know the Bible hasn't changed? How do you know people haven't changed the Bible?
Well, I mean, there's different versions of it, but it's all basically the same.
Yeah.
The context is the same.
We have, you can go all the way back to 100 A.D. Tell me what book can do that. We can go all the way back to 100 A.D., during the Church Fathers, and we can reconstruct the entire New Testament from what the Church Fathers wrote down.
Right.
And we have manuscripts that go all the way back to 200 A.D. and 149 A.D. You know, how far back do you want to go? You know, because people go, well, the Bible's been changed since the 1300s. Well, no, we've got things that show that it hasn't.
And it was in family history, you know, that they dialogue, you know, all of this, and brought it to light that it's backing up what the Bible said. That happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's
the flood
so many,
happened, this
there's
happened,
so many
that
different
happened.
Things that, that the archaeologists have found
yeah.
that does
back
it
up. Yeah.
You know, and guys, I always tell people this, focus on the resurrection. Because if you can bring somebody to the point, okay, so the guy did rise from the dead. Whoa, well, what did that mean? Isn't that somebody to listen to? He rose from the dead? Are you kidding me? Who's ever rose from the dead? Who do you know that's ever rose from the dead? Who do you know that's rose from the dead the last 2,000 years? Has anybody else claimed it? You know, if you look at our society, everybody knows that Harry Houdini is dead. Okay? But you know what Harry Houdini said? He said that he was going to come back and communicate. He was going to communicate, when he was got to the other side, he was going to communicate to the people about, you know, what was it? He's still dead. Everybody
and
knows
nobody's
he's
communicating.
Dead. And nobody's talking.
Every year on his birthday they try or something.
Yeah.
You know, guys, we're not any dumber or smarter than the people were 2,000 years ago. When somebody's dead, you know they're dead.
Yeah.
And when they rise from the dead, it's pretty easy to dispel if it's not true. It's real stinking easy, especially in a culture, number one, the Romans don't want Jesus to rise from the dead because they want peace. The Jews especially don't want Jesus to rise from the dead. So it's not even like a lot of people are going, oh, I hope he rises from the dead. That's not the whole thing, you know. The whole thing is everybody's going, everybody's trying to stamp it down, and he still rises from the dead. And the problem is they can't stop it. Why not produce a body? Produce some proof. If you want to stop it, you have every right to do that. But they couldn't, and it took off. And number three, here's the biggie, is it came from the Jewish line. God does not let Jewish error go very long. He'll let pagans go forever. But what's interesting about the Jews, and Gamaliel said, he was a Pharisee at that time when they were trying the apostles after Pentecost. He said this. He said, guys, do you remember Theudas so many years ago? I'm fine with these guys, by the way, Des. Just running around. They're really good. Do you remember any gained a following? He said he was something. And then we killed him. And then his followers just dispersed. And then remember Matthias? He claimed to be somebody. We killed him, his followers dispersed. I tell you the same thing. Their leader is dead. If it is not from God, it will disperse. But if it doesn't disperse, then you may be found fighting against God himself. This was an unbeliever who said this. Because there's something special about the Jews. God's not going to let this Messiah go for very long without proof that he's really dead. So it's huge. There's, it's just, and that's what I do. Is, I mean, people will get you off in so many rabbit trails, like you guys have got me off today. and before you know it, you're like, what were we talking about? And then they're like, see? And they'll find something. They'll find something that rattles your cage. You can, yeah. You say, no, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the resurrection. Well, I don't want to talk about the resurrection. No, the resurrection is the important thing, because if I can prove to you the resurrection is true, then that means he rose from the dead. That means he broke the curse. Only God can do that. You better listen to him. And then they'll be like, well, what about UFOs? Another time. We're not talking about UFOs right now. We're talking about the resurrection. Well, I don't want to talk about the resurrection. Okay, then we're done. Because they really don't want to talk anyway. They just want to throw stuff at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want to submit to Jesus.
Okay,
let's go to verse 14. We gotta finish chapter 1.
I'll get back.
Okay, so that was last week, kind of. 14 says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So I, as much as it's in me, I'm ready to come to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Okay, he's talking to Christians right now, and I really have a hard time believing he's talking to people that are unsaved. He's talking to believers, but he still wants to preach the gospel. He wants to I love to hear it again. He wants to remind them. See, the book of Romans is all about remember what you have. This is what you have. And then he goes on and he says, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everybody who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now I want to stop there for a second. Now notice the key words there, guys. Power, believes, Jew first. Sometimes we get embarrassed when we talk about the gospel. We're like, oh, it's going to be confrontational.
My kids are like that. They're like, oh, Mom, don't go on.
Yeah.
Like that. Don't start.
I know. we think we're spreading some sort of disease, yeah. You know, and okay, we all struggle with that. One thing that's helped me is remember, Mike, it's the power of God for salvation. Remember what happened with you? It was the power of God for salvation. What about this person could be the same? It's the power of God for salvation for them. They may be wanting you to talk to them. Notice the word there, believes. It's in the Bible 150 times. God's trying to tell you something. It is belief. Belief, belief, belief. Do not let anybody tell you, well, belief means a lot of different things. No, no, it doesn't. No, no, it doesn't. I believe you guys are here today. That means I believe what you say, that there you're here. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way that gives truth. Everlasting life, you believe it, boom, you're a believer. Nobody believes in Jesus just to believe in Jesus. You're believing in Him for something. What is it that you're believing in Him for? All of us in here would probably say, eternal life. That's the trust. You know, there are people, and there are people that say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, what do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe He's, you see, I believe He's a good teacher. I believe He's this. I believe He's that. He believes the Son of God. Well, yeah, what does that mean? God in the flesh? Okay, I'll go with that. So was Muhammad God in the flesh too? No. You know what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Well, I don't believe that. There's a lot of ways to heaven.
Because yeah, there's such a difference in people when they just go around saying, well, I believe.
Yeah.
There's such a difference in the people who really believe.
Yeah. They're not putting all their eggs in one basket. See, you guys in here, you have literally put all your eggs in one basket. So much so that if Jesus isn't who He said He is, you're going to hell.
Right.
If the game, if we're duped, we're duped, man. That sucks. You know, that's a. I shouldn't say that around one girl. That is what is rough. Okay, but see, that's how you know. What are you depending on? Jesus. You have no other.
I remember my father-in-law, Herbie, he used to say, well, what do you got to lose? If you don't believe in Him, what do you got to lose?
Okay, yeah. That's good. Yeah, really. Golly, man. So anyway, that's what Paul was saying here. Now, here's something else, though, guys. It says this. Now, I'm pretty emphatic here. Not a lot of people teach this. There is something in there that says the Jew first. Here's where the Christian church has dropped the ball. They have failed to evangelize the Jews. We have failed to evangelize the Jews.
They're like the youngsters here that don't want to hear it. Like your son. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was saved in Awana. So when I argue with him or tell him, you know, but actually he listens to another person outside me and say, oh, well, that's what she said too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So he's like, he wants to hear if I'm saying the same thing.
Sounds
right.
Exactly like our son-in-law. You know, he was saved, he went to Christian school and mm-hmm. most of his life and just fights it.
Yeah. I said, no, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. He's very smart, though. But he listens to Discovery, too. He listens to all that.
Yeah.
The Unk.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of do all that.
Guys, let me see what that channel, Discovery Channel. There are so many things on there that are falsified.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I know. It's called, what is it called now? I think Clinton helped us do this. But it's almost like a tabloid. It's not accurate anymore, factually. They can throw in whatever they want.
Well, I just hear it now and then when he's got it on or something. I'm like, you listen to that stuff? You know, why do you listen to that? You know better than that.
Yeah, but if you check up on it, a lot of the stuff they're saying is just a little bit of truth. And then and they just say
I don't know
it.
Why he believes it, because he knows that when he's like blocking it out.
Well, here's the thing, guys. If we had, and we basically stopped evangelizing the Jewish people about 200 AD, if we would have kept the Jews in the church, there never would have been infant baptism. There never would have been the confusion with communion. Because people go, does it become the blood of Christ? Does it become his real body? No. No, it doesn't. It's a remembrance. The Jews knew that. It was called Passover. Passover was the same thing that we do with communion. They were looking back at an event and celebrating an event. Just like we look back at an event and celebrate it with communion. But the blood, it doesn't become the blood of Jesus. It doesn't become the body of Jesus. It doesn't have any qualities like that. It's the remembrance of what Jesus did. Another thing that would have never came in is saint worship. The things we just talked about earlier. That never would have come in because Jews knew that was idolatry. Statues. The veneration of Mary. Putting Mary to the same place as Jesus, that never would have happened either. Because Mary was a woman. She was a woman, but she was a human.
She was made of man.
Yeah.
Or even a higher stature in some respects.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We
were at a family reunion last weekend.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were at a family reunion last weekend. My mom and I were the only ones sitting there quietly as we heard Hail Mary full of grace, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff, guys, would not have come in had we kept with the Jews. And I think to this day, I think we need to reverse that. We need to be reaching the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Because they will bring, believe it or not, doctrinal purity back into the church. But we just don't do it. And that's the failure of this dispensation, is we have not reached the Jew. There's a lot of organizations that you can give to, Chosen People Ministries, Jews for Jesus. You know, I'm trying to get us as a missions thing to start giving the Jews for Jesus. Or Chosen People Ministries, one of the two. So it's to the Jew first, then to the Greek. In it, verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, guys, very simply, guys, when you get saved, you literally get the righteousness of God in you. That's crazy. You don't become the righteousness of God. You get it.
It's like a sudden awareness. Comes over your whole body,
yeah,
your mind.
If the Holy Spirit enters you, what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's not chopped liver, folks. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit. That's the righteousness of God. The fact that the Holy Spirit comes in us is like, that's huge. That's amazing. Because it didn't happen before Pentecost. It's never happened before. The means by which we get it is faith. And what's frustrating to people is that's the only way. Because people want to do something in order to get something. And you can't do that with this. Okay. Now we get into verse 18, starts a new topic. So if you want to just kind of point this is going to tell you guys, oh my goodness, man. This is why I did not become a history teacher. I'm going to kiss. And I was like, man, why is this the weirdest thing? Out of nowhere. Do you know why I did not become a history teacher? Because history is depressing without God. Huh. It always repeats itself.
Nobody learns.
You know, I was watching a thing on Hitler. And actually, it wasn't a...
There's a lot on Hitler lately, I've noticed, yeah. too. I'm like, what's this about?
It was Valkyrie with Tom Cruise.
Oh, that.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, I'm the one at the movie. So I went and Googled it and found out exactly what happened. You know they tried to kill that guy 15 times?
Who, Hitler?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
15 times. That was just the German people. That's not counting everybody else. The guy would not die. But the thing about it is, you know, we look at that and we go, yeah, we'll never do that again. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And there'll be a guy that comes that's even worse than Hitler.
Yeah, the Antichrist.
Yeah, and we'll buy into it again. Not us. Hi, dude. Doing a class here, okay?
Wow. He's really impressed, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now you guys got to see it. You're going to start tripling in.
Yeah,
that's the only part of my Bible I don't have of that verse highlighted is first the Jews, then the Gentiles, because I thought that just covered everybody.
Yeah. That's what I thought at one time.
But, yeah, and I didn't realize what it really meant for just now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the Jew first. It's always the Jew first, guys. Jesus came to the Jews first. This will help us get done quick.
Yet they don't believe in him.
Exactly.
I don't.
But there's a lot that,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot that are. There's a lot of Jews that are.
But that's what I don't understand. If God picked them as his chosen people, why don't they believe in Jesus?
They always have done that. See, this is the thing. Here's the thing, guys. This is God showing us how far people fall short. Even the ones he picked, they still don't follow.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen to those Gentiles? They are lost. They don't have a prayer in the world to get saved. And so once again, it comes down to God does it. He has to do it. His grace, his mercy, he has to do it. Now, what this is going to show next is this is going to show the horrendousness of man. And look what it says. It changes topics and it goes, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, and I want you to underline this, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I think you need to go out there, buddy.
Isaac, Leah, come on.
And what's fascinating about that, here's why I tell you guys to underline those things, is because you're going to find in chapter 3, and I want you to buzz ahead to chapter 3 real quick, verse 10. Actually, yeah, verse 10. And I want you to read it. Somebody read that.
As it is written, that one, there is no one righteous, not even one.
There is no one righteous, not even one.
Unbelievers.
But I want you, yeah, you're right, but I want you to see who they're talking to here in verse 18. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Folks, that is the whole world. God's wrath is not on us. God's wrath is on the whole world. Now, here's what the world is like. They suppress the truth. They hold it. It's not. Yeah, don't they? It's not like. It's not like they are passively saying yeah, whatever. They literally hold down the truth. And as Des says, it's in our schools. It's everywhere.
Really bad.
But what's interesting is look at verse 19. What does it say? Let me read it.
because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
God has already showed it to them. And God is working on it. Now, what is it that he has shown? Well, first of all, he's shown something inside them. Secondly, and the thing inside him he shows is everybody's got a morality. Everybody, why is there a right and a wrong? Let me ask you guys a question here. Is this a straight line or crooked line?
It's crooked.
Who said that?
Me.
That might be the straightest you can draw a line.
Well, no. Yeah, you're right. But I'm saying, what? Where in your mind do you think that that's not a straight line?
Probably part of my brain.
Who ever said to you that there's such a thing as a perfect straight line?
Our teachers.
Yeah.
But you know when you look at it, that's crooked or straight, right? Guys, you're seeing God in you. You're seeing perfection.
It says in the next verse that he showed the world his invisible qualities and his internal power and his divine nature. The unbelievers see that. They know him through that.
Why is there a sense of perfection in you?
God put it there.
Because you're created by the Creator, and Adam was perfect. Your genes still remember this is a straight line and that's not.
Well, when God is in us, and I had a bad day this week, and I went home and I read a verse. I was going to say the Bible, but I read a verse in Romans, and it said, you know, you got to, you know, He loves you, and you got to go out and show His love. So the next day, I showed His love instead of focusing on myself. So that's what we got to decide. We either got to decide to be grouchy and think about ourselves or think about other people. So that's what we're good by me. You know,
yeah.
To live for Him, to live about for ourselves.
Yeah, it's heavy duty. Okay, here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to see all the things that are there in 18 through the end of the chapter. These things, guys, are not necessarily unbelievers. This is what the sin nature is like. This is the sin nature. Paul, what he does in the next three chapters, or two chapters, guys, is he systematically condemns everybody. He condemns the lowrider. He condemns the person that thinks they're okay, which is probably 70% of the people in the world. And then he condemns the Jewish leaders.
Everyone is condemned without Christ in their life, right?
That's what he's trying to show. All right, guys.
So can you give me the Bible verses about divorce so I can read them?
Matthew 5. Did you steal that from a hotel?
No.
From the
Gideon. I think it's in Matthew 5-7. We're done, guys.
It's funny, work doesn't have any pens, all right?
You guys were super good.
Were very
what
good.
Is up with
thank
that?
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah, they know, but I appreciate it. I
she's so cute, she's just distracting.
No, what we'll do is I will seal this place off even more. But I'll make